Looking back over this past week, you know, obviously we had various central banks last week, and they were a focus. So starting first with the US, you know, we had the FOMC meeting over there, and they left their funds rate, no surprise there, at the very high 5.5% at the top of their cycle there. And the message that's coming through is a bit of a mixed one from the Fed. It is that, you know, they still have capacity to bring interest rates down on their interest rate forecasts from around the middle of the year. If you took it at face value, you know, they've probably got three interest rate cuts coming in the second half of the year. But also giving warnings that, you know, interest rates have got to stay higher for longer. I think what this means is that, you know, they've got very limited capacity to bring interest rates down much, because the economy is still performing relatively well. It's a conundrum because the economy should be slowing under pressure from those very high interest rates, but many of the indicators that are coming out are still holding up very well. So I think sort of mixed message, the Fed trying to hold things where they are, is going to persist for a little while yet, and probably longer than was indicated at that Fed meeting. And I suspect that market action since that Fed meeting is starting to sense that as well. We had, for example, you know, several of the housing indicators right at the leading edge of economic activity. Most of these have been trending upwards now since the third quarter of last year. And the ones we had last week were actually quite strong. So we had the March National Association of Home Builders Index came out. That lifted to 51 from 48. Yeah, that's lifted best part of 8-9 points over the course of the past 2-3 months. So national home builders are actually feeling a lot better about conditions in that market. And why wouldn't they? Because we had three other housing indicators came out last week. Housing permits were up 1.9% month on month. Housing starts were expected to rise around 6%. They rose 10.7% month on month. And existing home sales for February. Now, this comes after a 3% lift going back to January. They lifted another 9.5%. The market was expecting those to fall by 1%. So, yeah, we've got really booming housing right at the leading edge of economic activity coming through. Turning to the jobs market, yeah, we've had a little bit of mixed reading in that strong jobs market between the labour force survey in the US and non-farm payrolls. And we had some downward adjustment to non-farm payrolls going back when the last one came out, even though when, you know, non-farm payrolls were actually quite strong for the most recent month at 275,000. But one of the more reliable indicators in the labour market was the initial jobless claims. You know, those people actually claiming benefits, because you can count those very accurately, holding down very low. And so for the most recent week, they came in at 210,000, down from 212,000 the week before. You know, that's consistent still with a very strong and very tight labour market. We also had the old-style manufacturing PMI and services sector PMIs for the month of November. And again, you know, both in expansionary territory, both firm. In fact, the manufacturing PMI was surprisingly strong. It lifted to 52.5 from 52.2. This is supposed to be the weakest part of the economy, and it's above 50, the expansion contraction line. And the services sector PMI, yes, it did come back a little bit, but it's still at 51.7, which is strong, from 52.3 going back the previous month. So when we look at all this data in the US, it's saying that, well, you know, good luck, Fed, if you think you're going to get any interest rate increases away from June, because things are still running very, very strongly here. You know, there's not a lot of evidence that we've got much slowing. This week, we get a few more indicators coming out. Some of the ones which I think would be reasonably interesting. We've got new home sales coming out today. I'd be very surprised if this one's not strong too. The market thinks it will be. Market's looking for February new home sales to be up 2.1% after being up 1.5% the month before. We've got consumer confidence coming out. That's expected to lift a bit for March to 106.9 from 106.7. And then towards the end of the week, we'll get another measure of inflation. That's the February core personal consumption expenditure deflator. Remembering that CPI and PPI for February were both on the firmer side for the US, you know, I think this one's probably going to be there too. And looking at around about a 0.3-0.4% month-on-month increase after a 0.4% increase the month before. Yes, the annual rate was 2.8% on this indicator, but you know, when you're getting 0.3s, 0.4s a month, you're annualising well above that. And if anything, it's starting to lift. We'll also get personal income, personal spending. These are, you know, paradoxically all out on Friday. That's Good Friday. The US doesn't take either Good Friday or Easter Monday as a national holiday. It's a partial holiday. Yeah, we do get some data coming out on Good Friday there. And so, yeah, these are not going to have much impact into markets elsewhere because obviously, you know, things, most other markets are actually on holiday when much of this data comes out. But for the most part, you know, the data is looking relatively firm. You know, that's putting a caution into whether the Fed can bring interest rates down any time in the near future. They said they probably would at the last FOMC meeting, but there's some pretty mixed messages that came out of that as well. Moving to China, and last week, you know, we had some indicators were looking a little better, but the one which is the most important, which is retail sales, you know, that's what China's got to get moving if it's going to get some improvement running through economic activity. And of course, the household sector in China is worrying about whether its major investment in housing is under a lot of pressure at the moment. And so, yeah, that if anything's keeping things fairly depressed, as too, you know, signs that, you know, the economy's not really grown that fast and the unemployment rate's rising. So all of these things are just keeping the household sector fairly subdued in China, and that's what they've really got to lift if they're going to get some better growth going forward. Some of the indicators like fixed asset investment spending in January, February, and industrial production in January, February, yeah, they did improve a little. So fixed asset investment was up 4.2% year-on-year after being up 3% the month before. Industrial production was up 7% after being up 6.8% the month before. But February retail sales, that one came back to up 5.5% after being up 7.4% the reading before. So your retail sales, if anything, is turning over and fading, and that's that won't help to keep the Chinese economy growing at the pace which the authorities hope it will this year. You know, they're aiming for 5% economic growth. And I think the view of most analysts is that's a pretty tall order, whilst they've still got extreme problems running through the property sector, extending through to shadow banking, keeping the household sector fairly depressed. And they're not doing much with other policy arms. We had the People's Bank of China meeting last week. They did nothing, and they left the interest rate at 3.95%, same as the month before. And yet this is one of the central banks which potentially could lower interest rates if it wanted to. This week in China, we'll get the manufacturing PMI, services sector PMIs coming out. They come out turn of the month. And probably, you know, around where they were last month, which for the manufacturing sector, it was at 49.1, so that's below 50, the expansion contraction marker. The services one's a little better than that at 51.4, and hoping to see that maintained. Just in our part of the world too, the Bank of Japan made a historic move last week. This is the last central bank to have a negative official interest rate. They actually lifted it 20 basis points from minus 0.1% at their meeting to plus 0.1%. Now, yeah, clearly they had monetary policy which was set way, way too low, but an interesting one that they're just starting to firm. Why have they done that when their economy is pretty flat at the moment? Well, they are expecting better economic conditions ahead. That's part of the factor. But one is that they've managed to reinvent inflation. So inflation in Japan has been running above 2% year on year for several months now. That's way better than it's been for a long time past when they've been struggling largely with deflation. So this had to move at some point, and they've just started to move their interest rates up. Moving to Australia, and wow, what a weird week this was last week. We had interest rates left at 4.35%. Some sort of interesting shift in the commentary where the Reserve Bank Governor, Michelle Bullock, is now ruling nothing in or nothing out. You could regard this as neutral, but it's another one of those signs that they're still quite away from being comfortable enough to bring interest rates down. They do expect to be able to bring interest rates down by the end of this year, but they're monitoring this carefully on a month-to-month basis with the data. And then just after the RBA meeting, we had this extraordinary labour force report. When I say extraordinary, there's always an issue between January and February labour force market readings. One of the problems is that a lot of people over the Christmas break, a lot of businesses, when they start to put people on, it's often after that Christmas holiday break that you start to see people coming through. So typically February is always a better month for employment growth than January. This year it was way bigger than the normal lift in employment that we normally see running for the month of February. So February employment, it was expected to be up 40,000. It was up 116,500. And of that, full-time employment was up 78,200. Also, the previous month, which showed an employment rise of only 500, was revised upwards to plus 15,300. So between the 2 months, that's 130,000 employment growth in the first 2 months of this year. It's taken it right back up. It's almost peak strength for the labour market. And that reflected in the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate dropped 0.4 of a percentage point down from 4.1% where it was the month before down to 3.7. So we've taken the unemployment rate neatly back down to almost the low point of the cycle again. That's a very tight labour market again. We thought we were getting softer running through the labour market, but this has been a very interesting rebound. Sure, it's 1 month, and we'll wait to see if it's confirmed in March, but it certainly fires a cannon shot across the bows of being able to lower interest rates anytime soon. So just some risk that runs through that data after the RBA meeting. And this week, the key read in this pre-Easter week is probably going to be the February CPI. It comes out on Wednesday. This is the monthly one. It'll be a one. The problem with the monthly CPIs is the Australian Bureau of Statistics introduced monthly CPIs, but much of their data collection is still done on a quarterly basis. So a lot of the key readings don't appear in the first month of the quarter, but we get a bit more into the February reading. And at this stage, the market's expecting that the monthly CPI actually lifted from 3.4% to 3.5%. If that's where it comes in, it's just another caution that the RBA's still got a bit of work to do with the CPI coming down. And we're waiting to see exactly where that one shows. But there were some items in February which would have lifted that inflation rate a little bit. We also get later in the week, just before Easter on Thursday, housing credit. Total credit with housing included inside that. But total credit growth has been running around about 0.4% a month. It's actually been lifting over the last month or two. And we'll also get February retail sales. Now, January retail sales had a rebound of 1.1% month on month. The market thinks we've got another 0.4% lift for the month of February. Something which is noticeable in Australia just in the very beginning of this year, most people are still beset by the idea that everything's going, it's all tough and everybody's suffering from the cost of living crisis and all these bits and pieces. A lot of indicators have just got a little bit of a dogleg back up again, running through January into February. So just be watching this to see where this one runs. It may be that the weakest point for the Australian economy is already behind us and that we saw it in the second half of last year. But waiting to see if it's confirmed, if that turns out to be the case, we may be waiting a lot longer before we can get interest rates down. But it's still very betwixt and between. In the words of the Reserve Bank Governor, you can't rule anything in and you can't rule anything out at this stage. It's quite a complex position. Finally, moving to Europe. And Europe's one area where we should be able to see the central bank getting interest rates down by around mid-year. They're not at that position yet, but some of the indicators that have come out, we had Q4 wages came out, and unlike here or the United States, wage growth has actually peeled back a bit from 5.2% year on year to 3.1%. Now, we haven't got a hope of doing that because you may have read the indications this morning in the paper that the federal government's going to push for CPI through to the minimum wage when the minimum wage case goes through again. Well, as long as we're doing that, we haven't got a hope of getting these wages down the way they are overseas. That is still a pressure point for us. We also had the January trade figures out of Europe. They softened to a surplus of 11.4 billion euro from 16.8. Trade's important in the European economy. Some of the other indicators, we had the ZEW, Economic Sentiment Survey. That one actually improved a bit to 33.5 from 25. But we also had manufacturing PMIs and services sector PMIs. Manufacturing PMI is still languishing at 45.7, down from 46.5, so it's well below 50. The services sector PMI, a little bit better, 51.1. That was actually up from 50.2, so a bit mixed, with services looking okay. But if anything, the ECB is probably going to be the first of the major central banks to bring interest rates down. And at this stage, they're on track probably for around June to start to bring theirs down. Another one which may not be too far behind is the Bank of England. They had their meeting last week. They left their base rate at 5.25%, same as the month before. The pressure points are there from a weakening economy. Although having said that, they're running up against the government who recently brought down their budget. And of course, some pretty big tax cuts running through that, coming through largely on the national security stamp, which is the addition that goes on top of personal income tax in the UK. So that's in a way puts a little bit of pressure against the Bank of England bringing rates down the track. This week in Europe, quiet, running into Easter, and all we've got really is the Business and Consumer Confidence Survey, and that looks as if we might get a bit of improvement there to 95.8 from 95.4. But otherwise, this week it's still that prospect that interest rates, whilst you're getting some central banks are hinting that they can start to bring things back, the data's working against them. It's certainly working against the Fed in the US, with the economy showing resilience and sticky inflation. And interestingly, there's signs of that just starting to show here. It could turn around here, but because we're a much more vulnerable economy with floating interest rate debt, and which makes our cash rate at 4.35% that much more painful. There are some interesting signs here that things are not quite as weak as they were. So watching all this with care, running into this shortened week, running into Easter.